The 2016 fantasy film Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them comes out on DVD next week. Film critic Walter Metz takes a closer look at this spin-off of the Harry Potter series that is written and produced by J.K. Rowling.
Set in 1920s New York City, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them offers a complex meditation on the nature of rising modernity. So-called New New York was built in the first decades of the 20th century as the city became the financial center of the world, displacing London. Its skyscrapers, tall buildings only possible because of the Industrial Revolution, built with steel frames and electrically powered elevators and lights, serve as metonymies of modernity. The city grew wildly, culminating in the opening of the Empire State Building in 1931, at 1,250 feet and 102 stories, the tallest building in the world until 1970. The plot of Fantastic Beasts concerns a secret plot by dark wizard Gellert Grindelwald to infiltrate the magical Congress of the United States to foment a war between humans and wizards. After the conflict nearly destroys the city, Newt Scamander, played by Eddie Redmayne, finally thwarts the plot and then uses a potion extracted from one of his creatures to cover the city with an obliviating rain to keep the existence of wizards a secret. The giant bird, seeming more and more like a bald eagle, is the mechanism for the delivery of the serum into the clouds above the city. The sequence is beautiful, unlike in comic book movies, which thrill in the destruction of the city but never stop to question the aftermath. Fantastic Beasts revels in the reconstruction of the city as aurors wander around New York waving wands to undo the damage Grindelwald's plot has wrought. In my favorite shot in the film, an auror stands upon the steel beams of a skyscraper still under construction. The sequence is so remarkable because it is about the repair to a structure not yet complete. The closest intertextual linkage is the modernist photographs of the first half of the 20th century, taken by the likes of Paul Strand and Albert Stieglitz, who reveled in shooting the not-yet-finished skyscrapers as metonyms for modernity. In Fantastic Beasts, do we witness the salvaging of the construction of the Empire State Building? Perhaps, as Jacob Kowalski tells us that he has returned from fighting in World War I late in 1924 and has been working for some time in the drudgery of a canning factory. As the central non-magical character, Kowalski is important for tracing the film's interrogation of modernity. As the film begins, Kowalski gets rejected by a callous banker for not having any collateral to secure a loan to open his proposed baking business. The bureaucrat observes, "There are machines now that can produce hundreds of donuts an hour." Kowalski leaves dejected, having blown his chance to share his grandmother's wonderful recipes with others. This is the tension of modernity. Mechanical reproduction produces efficiencies, but it cannot compete with the handcrafted love that Kowalski will bring to his bakery. Fantastic Beasts' engagement with modernity traces the shift from the prior Harry Potter world's anachronism of British boarding school in the 19th century to the United States' rise to global superpower in the 20th. Unlike the British wizard's replication of the role of prime minister, the Americans have a purportedly more democratic Congress of magical folk. In the film's most canny anachronistic move, the president of the American Wizards, Serafina Pickery, is played by Carmen Ejiojo, heretofore most famous for playing Coretta Scott King in 2014's Selma. Half Nigerian and half Scottish, she's the film's most radical representation of Rowling's commitment to diversity. Amid Jim Crow and the non-magical United States, the Wizards president is a black woman. Indeed, the Grindelwald action plot pales in comparison to the film's subtle engagements with identity politics. Despite the American Wizard seeming forward-thinking politically when it comes to identity differences, things are a mess. Newt calls attention early in the film to the American Wizard's backwardness when it comes to wizard-human romantic interaction. In a subplot, Kowalski's relationship with Queenie Goldstein, sister of the auror befriended by Newt, serves as Rowling's plea for tolerance. 40 years before the Supreme Court decision Loving v. Virginia in 1967 relegated anti-miscegenation laws to the dustbin of history, Kowalski and Queenie fall in love. As in the Harry Potter novels, this is Rowling's greatest gift to us as an artist. Whatever our failings, wizards and human beings alike have the capacity to love, if we can only overcome our bestial instincts, those exploited by the Voldemorts and Grindelwalds of our base material world.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them will be available at a movie store near you on Tuesday. Walter Betts is a professor of film studies in the College of Mass Communication and Media Arts at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. You can hear more SIU reviews on our webpage, wsiunews.org.